Okay, so have you ever thought about cities as like giant radiators? Some are cranking out way more heat than others.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're going to be diving into today. We're talking about how green spaces can help cool down cities. But the thing is, the benefits, they're not spread out equally around the world.
That's right. It's actually a huge area of research, and there is some fascinating new research that just came out that we're going to dig into.
Awesome. Yeah, so we're going to be diving into this brand new study. And it's not just about like how many trees a city has. It's about how effective those green spaces actually are at actually lowering the temperature.
You got it.
Yeah.
The researchers in this study, they looked at 500, a whopping 500 of the world's biggest cities.
Wow.
And one of the things that was really striking is that on average, cities in what we call the global south, they only have about two-thirds of the cooling
Wow,
capacity
good.
of cities in the global north.
Wow. That's a huge difference.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why should we care about this? Why is this important?
Well, it's not just about, avoiding a sweaty commute, right? I mean, this difference in cooling capacity, this has some major implications for public health,
Yeah.
for productivity, and even for how we're going to have to design cities in the future to deal with, rising temperatures with climate change.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so let's kind of unpack what these researchers actually did in the study. I know they used like a whole bunch of different sources for their data, which sounds pretty complex.
Yeah, they wanted to get a really comprehensive picture.
Yeah.
So they used data from satellites, they had climate models, and even population surveys.
Oh, wow.
One of the key things that they focused on was something called land surface temperature.
Okay.
And that's essentially like how hot the ground is in different parts of the city.
That makes sense. So
Yeah.
I'm guessing they compared that to like how much green space each city had.
Exactly. They used satellite imagery to measure the amount of green cover in each city. And then they basically correlated that with the land surface temperature data. And that allowed them to sort of quantify, put a number on how much of a cooling effect all that green space was actually having.
So they were able to see that cities with more green space were generally
A
cooled.
generally cooler, but it actually wasn't quite as simple as that. They found that the relationship between green space and cooling wasn't always a straight line.
Oh, interesting.
Like in some cases, a small increase in green space would lead to like a big temperature drop.
Oh, wow.
But in other cases, like the cooling benefits, they sort of plateaued after a certain point. It's like you add more and more green space, but you don't really get much more cooling.
Interesting. So it's not just like add more trees and you solve everything.
Right.
There must be other things going on.
There are.
Yeah.
And the study kind of breaks it down. They break down cooling into three different levels. To help explain some of these nuances. And those are cooling efficiency,
Right.
cooling capacity, and then cooling benefit.
All right, I'm ready to learn. Break those down for me. What are those three things?
So let's start with cooling efficiency.
Okay.
That's basically how good is a particular type of green space at actually bringing the temperature down. Like a dense forest of mature trees,
Yeah.
that's going to be way more efficient at cooling than like a little tiny patch of grass.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Makes sense. So it's like how much bang for your buck you're getting from the different kinds of greenery.
Yeah, exactly.
What about cooling capacity? What's that?
So cooling capacity, that's kind of the big picture view.
Okay.
So it takes into account all of the green space in the entire city,
Okay.
and it measures how much that cools the entire urban area. So it's not just about one park, it's about like all the parks, all the trees,
The whole combined effect.
the combined effect, yeah.
Okay.
All the green spaces across the whole city.
Makes sense. And then lastly, cooling benefit. What's different about that one?
So cooling benefit, that one takes into account where people actually live.
Okay.
So it measures how much cooling people are actually getting in their neighborhoods.
Okay.
Because you could have a city with like, decent amount of green space overall,
Right.
but if that green space is all concentrated, like in wealthier areas or places where people don't actually live,
Yeah.
then, the average resident might not be getting much benefit at all.
So it's not just about having it, it's about having it where people can enjoy it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And what this study found, unfortunately, is that the cooling benefits of green space, they aren't always distributed equally.
Right.
But before we get into that, maybe we should go a little deeper into how they actually measured all these different levels of cooling, because the methodology they use is actually pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I'm ready to get into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
Hit me with it.
Okay. All right. So how did they actually measure this cooling effect?
Well, they used satellite imagery
and then combined that with a bunch of publicly available data and basically created this like really detailed picture of the green spaces and the temperatures in all these 500 different cities.
Wow. Okay. So they're looking at it like literally from a bird's eye view.
Literally, yeah.
What kind of detail can they get from those satellite pictures? Like how much can they really see from that far away?
Well, they're able to measure not just like the total amount of green space, but they can actually look at like the types of plants that are there, how dense the vegetation is, how tall the plants are, all this stuff, all these factors that can influence like how effectively that green space is cooling things down.
It's not just like green blob on a map. It's understanding like, okay, what kind of green are we dealing with here?
Exactly.
Did they just look at parks? Or were they also looking at, like, street trees, people's yards, like, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, they cast a pretty wide net. Their definition of green space included parks, forests, grasslands, even agricultural areas.
Oh, wow.
Within the city limits. So basically, they were interested in any kind of vegetation, anything that was green that could be contributing to the cooling effect.
Okay, so that makes sense. So they have all this data about green space, and then they have the temperature data.
Yeah.
How do they actually like connect those two things?
Yeah.
How do they quantify like, okay, this is how much the green space is actually making a difference?
Well, they basically compared the temperature of areas with a lot of greenery to areas with less greenery.
Okay.
But they also factored in a bunch of other things like the local climate, the time of day, even the built environment, like the buildings and stuff, to make sure they were isolating the specific impact of the green spaces themselves.
So they're controlling for all these other things that could be affecting temperature.
Right.
That's pretty impressive.
It was a lot of data crunching, but it really allowed them to come up with some pretty robust findings.
Cool.
And one of the things that they were really interested in, of course, was how this cooling effect varied in different parts of the world.
Right. And that's where we see this like big difference between the global north and the global south coming in.
Exactly. Yeah, they found that on average, the global south cities had much, much less cooling capacity than the global north cities, even when you account for things like climate and how dense the population is.
And they dig even deeper into the reasons behind this, right? It's not just about how much green space there is. It's other stuff, too.
It's not just the total amount.
And
they actually found that global south cities tend to have less green space overall.
Right.
But they also face like a bunch of different challenges in terms of like the types of green spaces that they have and also like how well they're managed, how effectively those spaces are being taken care of.
So what are some of the specific things then that might explain why these global south cities, you know, they're not getting as much of that benefit from the green spaces?
Well, one big factor is just urbanization itself.
Okay.
Like a lot of cities in the global south, they're going through this period of super rapid population growth and urbanization.
Right.
And that often means, you know, green spaces are getting lost as they're converting land for housing and all the infrastructure they need to support all these people.
It's like the concrete jungle is expanding and the actual jungle's like shrinking.
Exactly. Yeah. And even when green spaces are protected, they might not be the most effective types of green spaces for cooling.
Okay.
Like, for example, a lot of cities in the global south have lots of grass and shrubs.
Okay.
But those aren't as good at cooling as like tall trees, really dense canopies.
So it's not just having green, it's having the right kind of green.
It's the right kind of green, yeah.
Okay.
And another factor is how those green spaces are managed.
Okay.
So in some cases, you know, the green spaces in the global south cities, they're neglected. They're not well maintained.
Right.
And that can make them less effective at cooling.
So like a park that's all overgrown with weeds or doesn't have like good irrigation, that's not going to help as much.
It's not going to do as much, no.
Are there any other like challenges that are specific to these global south cities when it comes to getting these benefits?
One more that really stands out is access.
Okay.
Even when the green spaces exist,
right,
they may not be equally accessible to everyone who lives in the city.
Okay.
So for example, a lot of times, you know, green spaces might be concentrated in wealthier neighborhoods,
right,
or they might be unsafe or hard to get to, especially for people who rely on public transportation.
So like you could have a city that on paper looks like it has a lot of green space.
Right.
But if it's not actually accessible to everyone, then it's not like an equitable benefit.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a really, really important point.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
It highlights how we need to be thinking about green spaces, not just in terms of like their ability to cool things down,
yeah.
but also their social impact and their economic impact, and thinking about that whole picture.
So this study doesn't just like point out the problem though, right? It also like explore some ways that we could actually make things better.
It does, yeah.
Like, are there things we can do to boost the cooling capacity and sort of close that gap between the global north and the global south?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the key takeaways is that there's actually a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah.
Like, even even small increases in green space can have, like, a pretty big impact on cooling.
Okay, so what are some of those strategies then?
Yeah.
What can cities actually do to, like, maximize that cooling capacity and make sure the benefits are getting to everyone?
Well, first of all, we got to protect the green spaces that we already have.
Sure. Right. We need to stop losing them, right?
Okay.
So this might involve, like, you know, creating urban growth boundaries,
okay,
maybe zoning regulations that encourage green development, and even like investing in land conservation programs.
So it's like playing defense to make sure we don't lose what we already have.
Exactly. Playing defense. And then we also need to be thinking about offense.
Right.
Like, how do we actually add more green space mm-hmm. to cities in a way that that really maximizes the cooling benefits? And this is where things get really interesting.
All right, I'm ready for those offensive maneuvers. Tell me, what are they?
Okay, offensive maneuvers. Well, one of the most effective strategies is planting more trees.
Okay.
But like we were saying before, it's not just about how many you plant. It's also about where you plant them and what kind you plant. We need to choose tree species that are, you know, going to do well in that particular climate.
Yeah.
And that provide lots of shade.
And we need to plant them in places where they're really going to make a difference in terms of temperature.
So, like, strategically placing them around buildings.
Yes.
Along busy streets in areas where people are going to be, you know, hanging out. It's like maximizing that shade.
Exactly.
And creating those little cool oases.
Little oases.
Within the urban heat island.
Exactly. And it's not just trees either. I mean, cities are getting super creative with green infrastructure these days. We're talking green roofs, green walls. I even saw an article about green tram tracks the other day.
Wait, hold on. Green tram tracks? What is that?
It's really cool. So they're basically tram tracks that are covered with vegetation.
Oh, wow.
And it helps to, you know, reduce the heat island effect and just make a more pleasant environment for people walking around.
That's awesome. I love it. It's so cool how cities are finding all these like innovative ways to work nature into like the built environment.
Yeah, it's really neat.
And these strategies, they don't just cool things down, right? They have other benefits too, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, green spaces can help reduce stormwater runoff.
Yeah.
They can improve air quality.
Yeah.
They can even create habitats for wildlife and even boost property values. I mean, it's a win-win all around.
Yeah, it's not just about making cities cooler. It's about making them like healthier, more sustainable, more livable.
Exactly.
Just all around better.
Yeah, totally.
And this study really like drives home that there's a lot of potential here. Like, we can really improve things.
There's a ton of potential, yeah.
So the researchers, they actually modeled what would happen if cities, like, went all in on these greening efforts. What did they find? Like, how much of a difference could it make?
So they found that in a best-case scenario, cities could boost their cooling capacity by as much as 10 degrees Celsius.
10 degrees.
Yeah.
Wow. That's huge.
It's a lot.
That would be like life-changing for so many people, especially in those really hot cities where the heat's already like a major health risk.
Absolutely, yeah. But to get to that level of cooling, that would require like a pretty big shift in how we think about and design cities.
Okay.
It would require us to like commit to making green space part of every single aspect of urban planning.
Yeah.
Everything from transportation to housing to how we produce and consume energy.
It's about seeing those green spaces not as like a luxury, but as like a core part of the infrastructure.
Exactly.
Just as important as like the roads and the sewers. It's like weaving nature into the city itself.
It is, yeah. And it's about making sure those green spaces are accessible to everybody,
right,
no matter where they live, how much money they make, you know, their background. Because ultimately, you know, everyone should be able to benefit from nature.
Right. It should be for everyone.
Yeah.
Well, this research is really a call to action for all of us to think about how we can help create these cooler, greener, more equitable cities.
Absolutely.
Whether it's, you know, planting a tree in our backyard,
yeah,
or advocating for more parks in our neighborhood,
yeah,
or supporting policies that promote sustainable development, we all have a part to play in this.
We really do. The future of our cities kind of depends on it.
Well, folks, that about wraps up our deep dive into urban cooling inequality,
yeah,
and the incredible power of green spaces to transform our cities. I mean, we covered a lot today.
We did.
From the science behind how it all works,
yeah,
to the challenges of inequality and,
yeah,
all the exciting possibilities with green infrastructure.
Yeah, and we hope this has maybe inspired you to think a little differently about how nature fits into our cities,
yeah,
and how you can help create cooler, healthier, more equitable future for everyone.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this journey into the world of urban cooling.
Thanks, everyone.